So I said you may be able to detect a theme. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. The fourth Sunday in Easter is always referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. We get these readings. And in a sense, they trouble me. They trouble me in a sense because I think they give us a false expectation. I think of Jesus as this wonderful shepherd. Maybe you've seen it in Sunday school rooms where he's got a nice, calm, tender lamb. Everything looks calm and serene. Bucolic, almost. And I don't know about you, but that's not always my experience of life. And we get this reading separated from the context in which it was given. Our wonderful lectionary people like to chop stuff up. For those of you who were in church a couple weeks ago, we enacted actually a long gospel from John during Lent, and it was of a blind man who was given his sight. And this really ticked off the Pharisees. The Pharisees, in a sense, were very upset that Jesus was healing this blind man. And if you remember, there's a conversation between him and his parents. And this verse, these verses that we get after, come right after that. So while you might have pictured Jesus sitting leisurely in a nice field, preaching and teaching to his disciples about the good shepherd that he is, in a sense, he is in the middle of a discussion, a debate with Pharisees. Pharisees who, like me sometimes, feel like they have all the answers. And I notice we call it Good Shepherd Sunday. But Jesus also says, I am the gate. I am the gate. Now, perhaps that doesn't make quite as nice pictures to hang up in Sunday school rooms. But think about that. Jesus says, I am the gate. Gates, in my mind at least, can conjure up all kinds of imagery. I often think of gates as, in a sense, to keep other people out, to provide defense, to provide boundaries. But this gate is different. If you'll notice in the scripture passage, the sheep can come and go from this gate. It is not a prison. They graze. They come in and out of the gate. And the gatekeeper is okay with that. These Pharisees, at least in my mind, tried to set up an artificial gate. They tried to put their own boundaries on God. And I began to think, how many times in my life, and maybe you're like me, have put limits on God? Limits on God's actions. Maybe it's my doubts, maybe it's my fears, maybe it's my own insecurity. But I began to read in this lesson that sometimes I am the thief. I rob God of being God. I, in a sense, can be my own worst enemy. And sure, there's other people out there as well who are looking, perhaps, that are about death and destruction. But how many times in my own life have I been my own worst enemy. One gate that I put up for myself and I fall victim to is a sin of certainty. A sin of certainty. I am not at my best self when I fall into this. Now, I'm not saying that we can't be certain about things or necessarily have our convictions. I'm talking about that space when even when we see things crumbling apart, we still want to hang on to what we think is the truth. In a sense, we're not willing to enter in into the mystery of God. Peter Enns calls this the sin of certainty. And the challenging thing I see with our society is we are falling more and more victim to it. We cannot have a conversation with somebody without convincing them to come to our point of view. Because if we don't do that, it's a failure, you see. God and Jesus, as the gatekeeper, says, don't worry about the boundaries. I got this. I'm in control. Sometimes it's okay to be a sheep. There's some reassurance in that. The idea that I don't have to set the boundaries, that God's got it. The God who knows us each by name, who calls us and loves us as we are. Maybe that's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about life abundantly. You can go through life trying to control and manipulate the situation and putting up your own fences, trying to keep others out. Or you can let God be the gate, be the shepherd, hang out in the grass, simply be in the presence of God. There's a rabbi who tells of a different view of the Bible. Rabbi says that Judaism sees the Bible as a problem to be solved, where Christianity sees the Bible as a message to be proclaimed. Think about the different views of those. What if we saw the Bible as a problem to be solved, realizing that we don't have to solve it ourselves? That thousands of voices have come before us and thousands of voices will come after us. And our job is to simply dwell in the mystery that is God. To seek God out where God is and not our own desires and our own fences. Maybe that's a taste of life abundant. I don't know much about sheep, but it sounds pretty good to me. Amen.